God. I want to turn this morning to the 11th chapter of Numbers. Numbers 11. Let us begin with verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Which should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. I want to speak this morning on the nursing father. As we find Moses ask, Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father bears the suckling child? There are a number of prominent people found in the scripture that fill a rather unique place, a unique role in God's program and God's purposes. For example, Eve is called the mother of all living. We know of Adam, the head of the human race, and indeed the father of humanity, as we find that even Jesus' lineage was, in the book of Luke, traced as a man back to Adam, as being the son of Adam. Sarah is representative of the covenant of divine grace. She's called the mother of us all, and all of us meaning the children of promise. Then we find Abraham. He's called Abraham our father in Romans 4:1. Paul also speaking of the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all in Romans 4:16. Here in our text, we find Moses refers to himself or asks, am I a nursing father that I should feed all of these people? The context of this, as we find here in verse 10, Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. The reason for that, if you'll back up to verse 5, the people say, we remember the fish which we did eat freely in Egypt, cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And so they remembered all of the food that they put in their stomachs back in Egypt. It apparently forgot all about the tremendous bondage that they were in. But then they added to their difficulty and God's charges against them when they actually despised the miraculous manna that God had brought down to them. As we find out from New Testament, that's simply representative of Christ, the true bread from heaven, and yet they didn't want to have anything to do with it at that time. And so it is that we come to verse 10 with all of their weeping because they did not have flesh to eat, and Moses heard all these people weep. And so I want to notice today that even though Moses is crying out to the Lord in great frustration with the children of Israel because of all of these things, I want to see five major characteristics of a nursing father. What is Moses talking about, a nursing father? And we are given those wonderful blessings and instructions here. And so the first thing we find about a nursing father is in verse 11, and that is when Moses said, thou layest the burden of all this people upon me. And the first thing that we must understand about fatherhood is that it is a burden from the Lord. Now, Moses referred to it actually as an affliction here, but God did put this burden upon Moses way back in the book of Exodus when he appeared unto him and spoke to him out of the burning bush. I want to notice today it is still God who has ordained, literally ordained, that kind of responsibility both in the spiritual and in the natural. To deny that response is to deny God. We know of many in our day who simply refuse to take on the burden of the responsibility of fatherhood. They refuse to do that. And again, to do so is to deny God himself. Moses took that responsibility. As you go back and read the account there in Exodus, he was very reluctant to do so, but eventually Moses agreed to God's plan. He agreed to what God wanted to do. He agreed to accept this burden of responsibility. And the fact is, he had that burden until the Lord took him home to be with the Lord. But here at this time, Moses is very much frustrated with the entire situation. Why did you lay this burden upon me? Notice the second point, verse 12. Have I begotten them? The Apostle Paul comments on this in 1 Corinthians 4:15. We will not turn there, but it says this: though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. And I thought of many today who are speaking to congregations such as this and many others around the world, and some might ask the same thing, have I begotten these? Because we know that all the hearers that a preacher addresses often week after week, he didn't actually bring them to the Lord. They were many of them already saved before they came to him, before he had a chance to minister. But I want to notice that so many of those same ministers have indeed introduced those people to the deeper things of God. In that way, they indeed have begotten them through the gospel. They are giving them the depths of the Word of God, which some of them could not find anywhere else. And so indeed they are begotten through the gospel. And so it is that we find with Moses, indeed, God did give to him these people. Then we come to the third one. Shall I carry them in my bosom? This tells us that a nursing heart is a heart of divine love. This is not a matter of the mind, so to speak. It was not a decision of Moses thinking about it. This is something that God put upon his heart. And so it is with the nursing father. He must have a heart for the people. And God will do just exactly that. I remember a sister that went to a missionary to Africa, Sister Huff. And she told us one day, looking out across her congregation, she was the only white one there. All of the rest of them were black. She said, Lord, if I'm going to minister to these people, I have to love them. And it was amazing that God gave her a love for them and vice versa. They were so in love with that woman. As she said, she just became a mother to all of them. Well, this is a nursing father carrying these people indeed in his heart, and he must have such a heart. As far as Moses himself is concerned, he had already demonstrated that heart time and time again as he went to the Lord interceding for them after they were so guilty of such deeds of unbelief. One particular time after they had bowed down to the golden calf and cried out, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of Egypt." God was ready to slay the entire nation, but it was Moses who went to the Lord. This man who had such a heart for these people, and he loved them. He was bound to them with the heart. And he went before the Lord and he said, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And he couldn't even finish that. He couldn't imagine what it would be like if God refused to forgive even this sin of these people. And he said, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. The Apostle Paul had the same love for this same people. As he said, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is a nursing heart. This is a heart of sacrifice. This is a heart that will give itself for the people. And this is the nursing heart that Moses actually had, though he questioned it at this time. A nursing father has a heart of love and of sacrifice unto the Lord for them. And then the fourth one is the nursing father. Am I a nursing father? A nursing father is one who feeds. Verse 13, whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. This is one of the great purposes of a nursing father, is that he will feed the flock. He will feed the children. This is a fact that is sorely lacking in Christendom today. We wonder how many out there are really nursing fathers willing to feed the congregation with the deeper things of God. Then the fifth characteristic that we find of a nursing father is that he must give direction, leadership to the land of promise. Notice again, am I a nursing father, bear the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? This is what God intended for Moses all along, for the children of Israel, intended that they should come into the land of Canaan. And yet again, we would say, insofar as Christendom is concerning today, how many are really instructing people in the eternal blessing and inheritance? How many are telling the people that we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ? We're not just waiting around to get to heaven and spend eternity there. This should be a time when God's people are instructed as to how to lay hold of the depths of the blessings that they will enjoy throughout eternity. But are they there? Are the nursing fathers really giving forth the depths of the riches in Christ that men have to lay hold of right now? There are so many people that think about going to heaven and what a blessing that will be. Let us understand, it's only to the degree that I lay hold of the blessing now that I will enjoy it then. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I know there are some that even teach, well, you'll even have a chance if you don't accept Jesus. If you're not saved, you'll have a time after that, purgatory or wherever, you can straighten it out. Don't ever believe it. Now is the day of salvation. Men must believe God now, because after we walk through that door of death, the translation into glory, it's all over. Nothing else will be added. There are going to be no redos or do-overs. And so now is when people need to be hearing the direction, the instruction concerning the promised land. I want to turn to another verse in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 6. This is addressed especially to natural fathers with their natural children. But again, I emphasize that the nursing father, these principles and characteristics apply to both the natural and the spiritual. And so we read in verse 4 of Ephesians 6, you fathers, Paul singles them out. He singles out others here in these verses concerning being filled with the Spirit and the submission that we all must learn. Here he says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is addressed to a nursing father. The word bring up here is very interesting. It means to rear up to maturity. It means to bring up, to nourish. We know today that one of the great responsibilities that is given to any father, he must see to it that his children have something to eat. This is exactly what Moses was talking about. This is what they're crying to me about, Lord, what am I to do about it? Natural fathers have the absolute God-given responsibility to bring home the bacon, so to speak. They are to feed their families. I am so disappointed today when those roles are reversed and many men really are just excused because they're not able to do what their wife can do. I don't care about society today and their standards. I care about the standard of God's word. And God says, you fathers, you provide for your family. Amen. You take the headship. You take the lead. Do you know the horrendous difficulties that are going on in this country and around the world because men have absolutely abdicated the throne? They have actually relinquished the authority that God gave to them. Fathers, we must, like Moses, stand up and take our place as the nursing father. We can't do it for the whole world, I'll guarantee you that. But bless God, we can do it in our own lives. And so we must become the nursing father that God intended we should be. Now you will notice here in these verses, we are told to bring them up, and indeed we must. I also want to notice here how that scripture is so very plain, as that word, rear up to maturity. Once they've come to maturity, your job is done, fathers. We may be grieved over the way that things have turned out in many cases, but I tell you, we have to realize where our responsibility ends. You cannot make decisions for your grown children. You cannot jump in and try to rear them up to maturity after they're already at maturity. And so there comes a time when that responsibility ends. Until that time, we must take the responsibility absolutely seriously to rear our children up to maturity and indeed to nourish them. And you will notice, as Paul says here, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It means the nurture of the Lord, and it means the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is very interesting. It literally means instruction. And we find out that Paul used exactly the same word when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for nurturing in righteousness. Both natural fathers, spiritual fathers, are to govern their lives and those around them with the Word of God. This nurturing is from the Scripture. As we read here, it's from the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, not the rules of society. We must instruct according to the Word of God and not according to the word of men. And then the admonitions, and these again, admonitions directly from the Lord. Now the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us indeed that with the word of God is for instruction in righteousness, and then he gives us the very next verse, he gives us the purpose of that nurturing, of that instruction. It's this, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. All the process of bringing them indeed unto maturity. And so we find out that as nursing fathers, we must be those who instruct, those who admonish, and make sure that that indeed is of the Lord. I want to close with the 20th chapter of Acts, where Paul especially addresses those who are spiritual leaders or fathers, instructing those around them. He has already, Paul, identified himself as a father. And if I'm not mistaken, he did found the church there at Corinth, but he didn't found all of them. However, as we have noted, being begotten in the gospel simply means begotten insofar as deeper and more glorious truth is concerned. This 20th chapter of Acts, Paul is giving his final address to the Ephesian elders, or indeed the fathers that would be in charge after he had gone home to be with the Lord. And so we read it in verse 27 of this chapter. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Then he says it in verse 28. Take heed, therefore. The little therefore points back to verse 27. Paul says, because I have given the truth to you, indeed as a father, because I have imparted these words unto you, now you also have a responsibility. Wherefore, I take, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. Hear the admonitions to the nursing father. You are to be an overseer, just exactly like Moses was overseeing these people when they were in need of literal natural food. Here was Moses wondering how in the world he's going to do that. Then, of course, as we find here, you can be overseers, and again, those overseers, there are many, many things that may apply, natural and spiritual needs, all kinds of various crises that might arise. You are overseers, but then you will notice to feed the church of God. Again, this is one of the major components and characteristics of a nursing father. He must be able to feed that flock of God which has been committed unto his trust. And God has put that burden there himself. And so as we read here, which he has, you are to oversee the church and feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is where that nursing father must realize the value of that which God has committed unto him. It has been purchased with the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to God. It's not his, but he must indeed care for it as if it were. And so he is told to oversee them, and indeed to feed the church of God. Go down to verse 32. There is something that must be taken care of in order for us to fully implement our role as a nursing father. Verse 32, Paul says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul said up here in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Then he says, and unto the flock. Notice the order. Every nursing father must take heed unto himself first. Take heed unto yourself. And now then, he says in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The nursing father must be built up first of all, before he is able to indeed instruct, oversee, feed, nurture, instruct this church of God or the flock that God has given unto him. And so today, we indeed, as fathers, must take this responsibility that God has given to us as fathers, whether it be in the natural or in the spiritual. This burden is from God, and we do well to follow the instruction that God gave concerning it, for He wants every one of us to be a faithful nursing father.